Batter Off. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 102 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Serovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Kellyanne Healy. Hello, Kellyanne.
Hello, Allison. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
Hello.
So, this was going to be mostly a Happy Met segment. Now it's not going to be, but we can start with the good stuff. So, the Subway Series over the weekend was nothing else if not extremely entertaining baseball. In addition to the games themselves being exciting and the final two being, you know, close games, there were some fireworks between the two teams, because at one point, the Mets believed that Taijuan Walker may have been tipping his pitches and that the Yankees were relaying the signs from the dugout via whistling. And the Yankees vehemently deny this.
But you can hear the whistles on the replay. Just putting that out there.
That you can hear the whistles. The Yankees don't deny that. So Wandy Peralta, the reliever, is the guy who was doing it, or at least like is the primary whistler. The Yankees do not deny that he was whistling. They deny it was for the purposes of sign stealing. And like it caused some fireworks because when Francisco Lindor hit a home run, not the last of his home runs, but a home run during the game, as he circled the bases, he made like a whistling gesture at Gio Urshela in the Yankees dugout because those two are friends and they, you know, banter. So he did that. And the Yankees took exception to that.
Of course they did.
Because the Yankees are all about, you know, we gotta
integrity.
Playing the game the right way.
Our honor. We're the Yankees. We're perfect. We can't possibly ever cheat, even though the Mitchell report is like, you know, the Yankees.
That whole letter was suppressed and I don't know, whatever
that
was.
Yeah, we'll get into that too.
Yeah.
But he made the whistling gesture just sort of as a like, hey, we see you. Situation. And then Giancarlo Stanton tied up the game later on. And as he was rounding the bases, he literally stopped running and said something to Lindor. And I don't know what he said, but Lindor and Baez kind of like stepped to him and were like shooing him around the bases, like, get the hell out of here, keep running. And the dugouts kind of, they did their like posturing shit that they do where there's no punches, but the dugout's empty and they just stand there and are like,
I love that.
Yeah, it's so silly. And then like the bullpens come out like, yo, we miss anything. And by the time the bullpens come out, it's already over. Worth noting that off-duty cop energy guy, Brett Gardner, did the like thumbs down gesture at Lindor and Baez. As like a taunt, reference to the thumbs down situation. The Mets had the last word here because Francisco Lindor hit a go-ahead bomb later in the game and, you know, the Mets won the game. So it's like,
and on Stanton, and Stanton's the one who ended the game too.
Yep, as if it couldn't get any more poetic, Stanton popped out to Lindor to end the game.
Yes.
Which was great.
Yes, and other beautiful things. I'm going to break in with some breaking news right now. Marcus Stroman just struck out Tyler O'Neill, which puts us over the 5K pledge mark for Dollars for Dingers.
Yo,
bouncing in my chair right now.
Yes, live on the pod. If I feel like it, which I might feel like it, because you know what? I got time today. I might, during the podcast, draw our winner and announce it, but I'll do it during the second half of the show.
That's exciting.
And I was gonna say, the two people I'm gonna give credit to, the two people who put us over, one of who is me and the other, wait for it,
I'm gonna give credit to the people who put us over.
me.
I'm gonna give myself props and Darren Cormier.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you, Darren, and thank you, me. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Kellyanne. Look,
every dollar helps. We wouldn't have gotten there without the Busch Lights either.
Yes, the Busch Lights. Hashtag every Busch Light matters. So like
all the K's, all the home runs, all the extra pledges, which are great.
Is and Lindor is the king right now, right? Like he's on top as far as the most home runs.
Yeah, I think that Yankee player's put him over.
Yes. Yes. He is leading the pack at 6. Baez is behind him at 4. Alonso is in third place with 3.
Excellent. And we've got some like, and what's great is that Lindor and Baez are the ones that I feel like the ones that have the most bonuses attached to them. And they're the ones that have the most dingers. So that helps a lot.
I think Pete might have a few.
Yeah,
bonuses.
Pete definitely has 3.
Okay.
Pete has homers. He has total bases. And I think that's it. Yeah.
So we're so excited, you know, like we're not even, or we're about halfway through. We're not even halfway through the fundraiser and we're already at $5,000. So we're,
oh my God,
that's incredible.
Our previous record for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. So thank you guys so much. This is so great. We're so excited. So to show our appreciation, we're doing a random giveaway, which is sort of a preview of some of our raffle items. We'll be giving away like a small bit of one of the prizes just to a random. Everyone who pledged is eligible. I'm just going to draw it at random. And someone will win. And if you win, I'll DM you. I'll also announce it here on the show, but that won't be the only way you find out if you won. I'll DM you. So that's really exciting. The Mets have, you know, been hitting a lot of home runs since Dollars for Dingers started for a team that hadn't been hitting home runs all year long. The offense did wake up a little bit over the weekend against the Yankees. It made for a very exciting series. Now, I mean, as someone who, like, I usually hate the Subway Series, honestly. Like, I avoid going to those games. I don't like it. I just, like, I'm a hater. I don't like it. Like, it just makes me cranky. Like, I don't like the Yankees. I don't like losing to them, which the Mets do more often than not. But I will admit that, and I would probably say this even if the Mets lost that game on Sunday, I will admit that the exciting games between these two teams is really good for the game because lots of people were watching it, you know, not just Mets fans and Yankees fans, like lots of people were watching that game. And, you know, the game on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, where they both had the New York across the chest. It was pretty funny how they did this like gesture of being united as
unity.
One New York,
and then the next day
they were fighting. But I feel like that's very Mets Yankees. That's very New York. Like
very
it's
New York.
Very New York.
How these teams operate and in the spirit of the city. So I, you know, it was a good Subway Series.
And they took the series.
Yeah.
For the whole season, too.
They did. Because
they won at Yankee Stadium.
They did, yes.
This is, like, the first time that I can recall them actually taking, like, the entire series.
Yeah, me too. And, I mean, this was just, obviously, the Saturday and Sunday games were both really close, and both teams played well in those games. But the Friday game, I said that it's the worst I've ever seen a Yankees team play in my lifetime.
Oh my gosh.
As far as like an individual game performance, like I have never seen the Yankees play like that. Like they played awful baseball, like awful, sloppy, terrible baseball.
Didn't they do something similar at Yankee Stadium too?
Well, they had a blow up, like the bullpen had a really bad blow up, but like,
but this I've never
fundamentals.
That was, I want to say that was even worse than a lot of Met stuff I've seen. That was
that's hard to do.
Like messy defense, poor fundamentals, just like,
and it wasn't just one bad inning. It was the whole game.
That was the shocking thing. Multiple fielding errors, and like. That Gary Sanchez tag on Jonathan VR was the worst play I've ever seen a catcher make in my life.
Well, you know, they fired Joe Girardi because Girardi was always getting on Sanchez and he was benching him and, you know, calling him out. And they're like, oh, you can't be going after one of our star players. So they fired him. But Joe Girardi was absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Sanchez is not a very good catcher.
No.
Say what you will about James McCann, but James McCann would never do. Yeah.
James McCann has had a couple of nice plays at the plate this year.
Yeah.
He had that one tag on the Conforto throw home that saved the game or ended the game. Like, that was a really good play by McCann, too. So it's like,
it's insanity.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah. So that was like an exciting, you know, Subway series over the weekend.
And let's really talk about the 9/11 coverage, because that was awful.
I mean, I didn't watch it, so I didn't see it. I was at a bridal shower before that game. I got in the car because Michael was recapping that game. So we had to like at least listen or watch like all the actual baseball that went on. So we were at a bridal shower and we got in the car to go home at like right before the game started. So we put it on the radio, but I didn't see any of the pregame ceremony.
It was very performative.
It was.
And it took such a solemn occasion to me and to me, it was this whole 20-year anniversary of 9/11 felt so very weird to me. It's not a good enough word. It just felt like it was celebrating it rather than mourning it and grieving it and realizing that what has happened in the 20 years since has been really, really damaging to the United States, to the globe on the whole. I'm totally veering off now, but
no, I think this is important to talk about.
I think it was Alex Rodriguez that said it. He wanted like the baseball game to unite us. And it's just like, okay, baseball can make us feel better and take us out of our problems for a little bit, but on the whole, it's not going to heal. We have to there are so many other factors to healing this country and moving forward and progressing. And just, we lost 3,000 lives that day, but how many hundreds of thousands of lives have been lost since as a result of that? With the war on terror, with Afghanistan, with Iraq, what's going on really on the whole in the Middle East. So
I think now
a baseball game is not going to heal that is the right point.
I think now that we're, you know, 20 years removed from the event, we can afford to have a little bit of introspection about, you know, the events that have led us to what the world is like now and be honest about that.
And I mean, especially I think us, as we were all kids to teenagers when this happened. For me, it was particularly affecting. I mean, I didn't have anybody directly in the towers, but I went to a school that had a lot of kids with parents. Most of them got out. I remember actually one parent drove after he got out of the treat center, he drove right to the school to be with his son, and the son was in kindergarten. So he's acting like a kindergartner and just screaming and being a brat. But just so many. And again, I was chatting with somebody about this the other day, and we're really close to it. Living in New York, living in New Jersey, I think as we get further away from where it happened, it gets less real. People become further removed from it, if that makes sense. But I mean, just for us growing up with it, it's really important to reflect on it because we're now inheriting the world that has stemmed from that. And it's a very troubled world. And it's a very damaged world that I don't know. I said it in a tweet last month that I think 9/11 crushed what little soul that this country had. I have a lot of feelings about 9/11. I do.
Even, you know, I tweeted this too. Now there's going to be a bunch of people tweeting never forget. You only cared about that because you could shoot somebody afterwards. You didn't care enough to put a mask on your face to save a child from getting sick. You didn't care enough to get a vaccine to, you know, help your immunocompromised neighbor. Like, Never Forget was supposed to be, you know, just see this awful, awful day
and do better.
Make sure it never happens again. And that means, you know, treating your fellow humans with respect and your fellow Americans with some respect, or just being compassionate. And there's absolutely none of that to be seen. Like, people,
and the way we've been numb to a 9/11's worth every of day, deaths every day from a global pandemic, just goes to show that people have learned nothing. They've completely forgotten. Hashtag never forget. They've completely forgotten.
It's not just the pandemic. It's everything that's happened over the past 20 years, foreign and domestic terrorism, all of the mass shootings that have occurred, and the continual ignorance of, oh my God, gun control. Sorry, I'm going like totally off on a tangent. I think just because right now, all I am seeing in my head, everybody has seen like the images and stuff, but I lived in a house at the time where I could see the Empire State Building and the towers from my house. So when I got home, I went out to look at the horizon where it was, and I just saw those smoking remains. And that is an image that has stayed with me throughout my entire life, because it really wasn't, I shouldn't say it wasn't real, but it really didn't hit, like, sink in until I saw it with my own eyes, realizing what had happened. I honestly have no words for it. I don't know what to say.
To bring it back to like a baseball context.
Baseball, sorry. Like,
no. I think that with regard to the performativeness of the ceremonies, I think that now that we're removed from this, I think, you know, the Daily Beast deserves a lot of credit for the coverage that they did about Carlos Delgado and his reaction to 9/11 and the events afterwards, and how he refused to be a participant in the jingoism that followed.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of shit for that. And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. And he had a lot of courage to take the right stance when there was so much pressure to, you know, just be like, America is great, everything is fine, we're the best country in the world. And like, he wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have it. And he was right.
And so, he recognizes that, no, we're not the greatest.
Right. So I think that, you know, we should recognize that there, you know, that Carlos Delgado deserves credit for the way he saw things with clarity at the time. Just like how one congresswoman from California voted against the AUMF, and she was the only one, and she got death threats, and she was right. Because he knew that this was too wide ranging. This was going to be a war that would go on forever, given the way that the AUMF was written, to include, you know, basically anybody who they could connect back to 9/11, no matter how loosely it may be. And now we are where we are. And these ghouls brought in, every time they referred to, they use the AUMF for justification. It was
and
Al-Qaeda and associated forces.
The AUMF is the Authorization for Use of Military Force Act of 2001, just for clarification, in case anybody doesn't know what that acronym stands for.
So, you know, like, there were people, like, I think a lot of people, like, look back and, you know, hindsight is 2020, and say, like, no one could have foreseen. People did. They were a minority, but they did. And they deserve credit for the courage that they showed. And Carlos Delgado was one of those people. He was not being performative. He knew what was up. So, you know.
I mean, and we can play Mike Piazza's home run over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
I get really emotional when I think about it, but
it does. And it provides a moment of happiness and the ability to kind of move forward and see that there are still moments of joy in life. However, that does not address the major problems that exist because of it.
From what I get from that is sports can be very healing, because, you know, you're all there together. You're all, you know, it is pure emotion. Like, Allison, I even tweeted this to you the other day, like, A-Rod's emotion going, oh, when Lindor hit the home run. Like, it's just involuntary because you get lost in the moment and it's emotion. But then also there's the other side of sports where there's the ugly side and the divisiveness of it and the performativeness to bring it back around. Like, Fox kept cutting into commercial. They had to make their money off of this, where back in 2001, it was just one long ceremony without commercials because they had respect for the moment. But this, it was every 2 minutes, stop and start, got to get going to commercial, go to commercial. Then you got to hear A-Rod talk. Then they got to come back. Then Frank Thomas has to talk. Then they have a pre-recorded segment. Then back to commercial. It's like, it felt like there was no emotional connection because there was no way to invest in it because it was stopping every 2 minutes.
Right.
I mean, I also think the biggest signal was what we mentioned before, the Yankees and the Mets being united on the 11th and then fighting on the 12th.
Yep. Yep.
Like just baseball wise, that kind of speaks to the tenor.
Yeah.
We can unite for maybe a few seconds, but again, there's root causes that can't be papered over.
Well, and then I said this too, like they didn't even mention Rusty Staub.
No.
Which is criminal. My God. Which
that is criminal. Is. How do you not mention Rusty Staub on the broadcast?
Criminal.
I mean, there are a couple people at the stadium who said he got mentioned at the stadium at least, but still.
That's good, but he should have been mentioned on the huge TV audience that was watching it. Yes. Was making money that's, off of.
And I was going to say, that's something I think we'll get into in a little bit when we get to the general baseball segment.
Yeah.
A piece of the survivor tree is at Citi Field because of his work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He deserves to be front and center with anything having to do with the Mets organization and their efforts.
Yeah, he's as instrumental as Mike Piazza and Bobby Valentine, in my
opinion. Absolutely. 100%.
Yes.
And I think the final point that I'd like to make about this, at least, that I think is worth thinking about when we think about like sports and society and the role they play in society, is that the people who like to scream about and like to scream in our, you know, podcast reviews about this, who like to scream about keeping politics separate from sports or, you know, whatever, keep politics out of my sports. They are the first to invoke the Piazza home run. They are the first to, you know, stand for the anthem at every single sporting event. I hate to break it to you, but politics are already inherent in your sports, like inherent, woven in the fabric of our sports. So like you can't apply that rule, you know, unevenly when you talk about keeping politics out of sports. What do you think Saturday was?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You want, but you don't want politics in baseball. That ceremony on Saturday should never have happened. That's
correct.
It.
Correct. So it's just worth thinking about. But anyway, the Mets came out of that emotional, exciting weekend and fell completely flat in their first
game. That was my issue, too, is I feel like that was the one game they should have won, and they didn't win that one. I was like, because even in the sixth inning, like, James McCann hit a home run, and it's like, oh, a catcher hit a two-run home run, like, to give the Mets the lead. We're like, this is perfect. So, of course, they blew it.
Right.
It's like, come on, they couldn't win the two of, like, the anniversary game. They won the others. Like,
I mean, whatever. But and then they fell completely flat against the Cardinals in the first game out of that emotional weekend. Like, you really think, you know, like the three home run Lindor game, like that was one of the best games of the year. And you come back and you get completely shut out by Adam fucking Wainwright again. Like, you really like want to go back to 06 with this. And like, it's just annoying. Obviously at this point every game is important because they are clinging to the edges of contention, like they're still technically in it, so they need to try to win every single game they possibly can, so every game's important. But the Cardinals are one of the teams, now the Mets are closer to the wild card than they are to the division, and the Cardinals are one of the teams directly above them in the wild card, very first chance to play a team that's directly above you in the standings, and they get shut out and get absolutely embarrassed and clowned. Like, come on, man. Like, it's so frustrating. That's why, like, they just reminded you right off the bat, in case you were ready to believe again, why they're definitely not a playoff team. Like,
yeah, my optimism from 2 weeks ago is gone. And like, once they lost the Marlins series, I was just like, nope, that's it. They're done.
I never had optimism.
Yeah, it was just, you know,
This was the way it was always going to go. Like, it's just who they are at this point. They're a 500 ball club. That's just what it is.
Really, yeah, they're going to finish like 81-81.
I mean, since DeGrom went down, I think that's really it. That's where I should have stopped hoping. And if you could fathom this, I was looking up. double checking my numbers for the dollars for Dinger tracker. And Jacob deGrom still has the highest BUR on the team by like a long shot. Pete Alonso is second with 3.7 BUR. And Jacob deGrom is number one is 5 BUR.
Not surprised by that at all.
That's just...
it's something.
I mean, it says a lot.
Speaking
it makes,
of...
it infuriates me that he's still... like, he's not going to be able to... he is not playing the full season. It's just stressful. But that leads us into our next topic. Take it away, Allison.
Yeah. So speaking of Jacob deGrom, there were a flurry of like injury updates. The most immediate one is that Tomas Nito's return. Like I wrote in my notes at the time, should return today because I wrote them in the morning. He has returned. He's starting today. And Brandon Nimmo is progressing, quote, faster than expected because, of course, he is the Mets and could be back as soon as the Phillies series. And meanwhile, DeGrom and Syndergaard both threw off a mound, I think. Well, DeGrom definitely did. He threw 10 pitches off a mound. And I know Syndergaard was expected to throw off a mound soon. So, like, the Mets are, it looks like they're trying to bring them back. In what role exactly? I have no idea. But I like the Mets are just like rushing them back, I guess, to like
shut
play out
down.
September. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's over, guys. I mean,
it's heartbreaking, but shut them down. Let them heal up a little more. Oh, runs.
In play runs.
Well, the bases are loaded with one out right now because
that's probably a sack fly.
Ponce de Leon, like he walked Stroman, he walked VR, and he walked Lindor.
Hey, you know,
you are right, Linda. It is a sack fly.
Hey,
please.
That is
you
more,
thought they were getting hit.
But it's a sack fly. It's the sack fly that gave them the lead. So.
That is more than they've been able to do it. Mostly. Like they had one
That's
of the fewest
true.
Sack fly totals in the league. And it's because they literally couldn't even do that with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
So at this point, even that's an improvement. So yeah, sadly they are, I mean, like, whatever, like, I guess it'll be fun to see like Jake and Thor at the very end, but like, why? Like,
I'm just trying to enjoy this season for what it is.
Yeah.
And not, I'm just shake off the expectations at this point.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Well, and they said Syndergaard probably would have been back earlier if he didn't get COVID.
Yes.
People often ask me if prosecuting the mob is like the movies. Well, there is violence.
He cracks his guys over the head and it popped just like a melon popped.
There are hits.
So it wasn't just permission to take him out, but permission to take out his own nephew.
But after taking down over 100 mobsters, I can tell you this. The real thing is much more interesting. I'm Eli Honig, former mob prosecutor and host of the new podcast, Up Against the Mob. Up Against the Mob lifts the veil on the world's most secretive criminal organization, La Cosa Nostra. We'll talk to prosecutors, former mobsters, and undercover agents. And unlike Hollywood, all these stories are true. New episodes drop every Wednesday starting September 8th. Listen and follow Up Against the Mob on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Hey, are you hungry for a hot take on your latest favorite film?
I like Dwayne Johnson, and I personally think he is the greatest action star of his time.
Or a wild and weird take on a cult classic, because Idiocracy was so good it ruined all future political comedy.
Or a take so fanatical it blows your mind all the way to the next stratosphere.
Vin Diesel's character, Dominic Toretto, is a f***ing angel, man.
Then check out Galaxy Brains, a podcast where movies, TV, and overthinking collide. Hosted by me, Dave Schilling.
And me, Jonah Ray. Each week on the show, we blow our own minds and yours with a galactic level take on the zeitgeistiest movie or TV show of the moment.
Then we run those takes by our favorite comedians and expert pals who either lift us up or shut us down.
Tune in and follow Galaxy Brains on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app.
I'm less worried about it with Noah Syndergaard than Jacob deGrom because with Noah Syndergaard, you have to make the decision about the qualifying offer. And with Jacob deGrom, obviously, there's no such decisions to be made. So I understand it a little bit more with Noah Syndergaard. But yeah, it is what it is. Anyway, that was going to be our Mets segment for today, but there was breaking news right before we recorded this podcast, which is that Sandy Alderson will, quote, absolutely stay on as Mets president in 2022, sources tell Tim Healy of Newsday. Apparently he's going to be, quote, more on the business side of things, according to Mike Mayer of Mets Mesmerized. But that's a thing. So
are they not hiring a general manager next year and he's just going to be the de facto pseudo?
They're going to hire a general manager. He's going to be president of baseball operations. It's going to be the same thing that they had in mind for this year, which is that they had hired Jared Porter to be GM with Sandy Alderson as president of baseball operations, team president. And then and then that got messed up. And then Zach Scott was acting GM under Alderson until
that got shot.
And now Sandy's doing everything. He's GM and president of baseball operations. And his son has a bigger role because, you know, Sandy's having to do everything. So the plan is to like have a GM that operates under Sandy, but the idea is that Sandy, at least the indication of Mayer's tweet saying he's going to be, quote, more on the business side, is that it's not going to be the same thing that they thought was going to happen with Zach Scott, where Sandy was sort of training him to become the full GM, because that was kind of the original plan. And now it's clear they're not going to do that given the drunk driving issue. They're probably going to look to hire a more, you know, established GM. Who knows if they can attract such a person.
Given enough money, yes, they will.
Sandy will be doing the hiring, which is the big problem because we know his track record with this. So Sandy's going to do the hire of the GM, and then the idea is that Sandy's going to be president of baseball operations, like doing the business side, and he's going to let the GM, like he's going to be not as involved in the day-to-day operations, and the GM is going to take care of that. Like that is the vision.
Spoiler alert, this is bad all around.
But yep. Like, have you learned nothing? Like,
nope.
You, like, how can you, like, and the exact, like, way the tweet is worded, let me go back to it, because the way the tweet is worded is infuriating. And, like, this is not me knocking Tim Healy. I'm sure he's, like, he's just relaying what he was told by the source.
He is the messenger.
He's saying, Sandy Alderson will, quote, absolutely stay on as Mets president for 2022, source says, giving him a second try at shaping the baseball operations leadership. He doesn't deserve a second try. What has he done to deserve a second try?
He's had, well, this is like his fifth try at this point.
Seriously.
There is no second try here.
People forget he was the general manager before this, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, What try number are we on now? It's not the second one.
It's definitely not. I was gonna say he definitely hit in his first go round. He definitely hired Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, like
to say when since wait he was 2010 he came in,
something like that. Yeah,
so he's been around for a while, and we only have really like two good years to show for that.
And then you can point to the Wilpons, but how do we know at this point? What has he done to earn this? Like, can you point to one thing he's done in both of his 10 years? They made the playoffs twice, sure.
I was going to say Jacob deGrom, but no, that was Brody Van Wagenen that signed Jacob deGrom.
Yes, it was Brody Van Wagenen that negotiated that extension. Well, it was.
My God.
Oh, Kellyanne, it was not Brody Van Wagenen. He was recused.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
It was his regime. Sure. It was his regime.
Yeah.
It was his regime.
But, even the playoffs, it was like, if Cespedes doesn't play out of his mind, do you even make the playoffs? Like, you got lucky. You wanted Carlos Gomez. Cespedes was the fallback. What has Sandy done to merit this? Outside of the multiple scandals, just the performance on the team doesn't warrant it. On the field doesn't warrant it.
I don't understand. Like, this just, it's just so freaking disappointing.
Because it's deflating.
It's so deflating. It's so abundantly clear that this team has no interest in changing the culture, let alone changing anything about how they operate. Like, again, I would like the Uncle Stevie stands to point me to what's different about his ownership. So far, it's the Francisco Lindor extension, which the Wilpons probably would not have done. One thing. Okay, what else is different? Otherwise, they are operating the exact same way that they would if the Wilpons were.
But then trashing your superstar is right out of the Wilpon playbook.
Absolutely is. Absolutely is. Blaming, you know, handing down harsher words to your players for doing a thumbs down gesture than your drunk driving acting general manager. That's Wilpon 101.
It is.
Wilpon 101.
So literally nothing
Steve
has
Cohen,
changed.
And Steve Cohen looks at everything that's happened this year and said, yep, this is fine. He deserves another chance.
See, to me, it's almost like Cohen's not taking this seriously.
Oh, he doesn't care.
He's not.
Which is frustrating because he's a fan. And one would think as a fan who now has power, they would make better decisions and good decisions. But as we can see, that's not true.
Like, to play devil's advocate, I get not wanting complete chaos and having somebody who knows, you know, who can carry
the way
you over.
Of the land.
Yeah, who can carry you over from, you know, year to year. So you're not starting completely fresh where nobody knows anything. Like,
which
where
I think
a whole bunch of new people and you're basically starting from scratch. Like,
I think that was the intent, maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's probably the intent.
And it fell to pieces.
Yeah. But there's got to be, like, Steve Cohen's got to have some more knowledge than coming in as a newbie like he did last year, where he's not just completely on his own.
And also, there are other people than Sandy Alderson.
Sandy Alderson. Mm-hmm. Or, like,
he's not the only person capable of doing this.
Yeah. There's got to be other people in the front office besides Zach Scott and Sandy Alderson. And didn't they revamp some of it? Didn't they bring in other people?
Yeah, they did. I mean, they expanded the, like, analytics department and certain aspects of the front office, I think.
Yeah, but so, like, still some people there.
And I don't know. All these names that were floated last year are coming back around again. And it's kind of just like, like, you could get these big names that you wanted. Just, like, I was on a, for all you kids out there, over the weekend, they had their 300th episode, and I was on, and we talked about this. Like, if you want the big name executives, just pay them more. Steve Cohen can afford to do that. Just give them more money than, give Stearns more money than the Brewers are currently paying him. Give Neander more money than he's being paid by the Rays. Give whomever more money. Like that's, they keep saying that they're getting turned down by these guys, but just, like, you can throw money at this problem fairly easily.
Yeah, isn't that the whole point of having the richest owner in baseball?
Yeah.
Like, why are we acting like we're not? I don't get we might as well keep the Wilpons at this point if you're just going to act like them.
Yeah.
At least you know what you're getting with the Wilpons. Like, okay, we're going to have a circus. I understand that. But here, you don't know. Like, it could be a circus. It might
not be.
It's just you don't know. Yeah, you don't know.
It's just so frustrating that, like, everyone was like, the dawn of a new era. And then, like, it was literally the same Mets shit that's been happening our whole lives.
I won't lie. I was very against the Steve Cohen ownership takeover.
Well, A-Rod would have been a disaster too.
Oh yeah,
J-Lo broke up.
I think I was gonna say it would have been a disaster in a different way.
Yes,
probably.
But not like I think it would have been a disaster from a PR standpoint, not necessarily from a baseball standpoint. I could be totally wrong, and it's a hypothetical. We don't know.
But technically, A-Rod was a fan too, just like Steve Cohen is a fan. And look
at
how
well
that's
worked
out.
Amount of dumb baseball things he said on the broadcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, recently, like, I have no confidence that he would be, like, you know, hiring the right people or making the right decisions about the direction that a modern front office
should take.
Wasn't
he going to bring in Barstool too?
Oh God, that's right. That's never mind. I take that back. But still,
I had literally blacked that out of my memory.
The whole thing with that was like, again, kind of a devil you know situation. I'd rather take A-Rod, who, like, we know is kind of is a schmuck, than Steve Cohen, who has done financial crimes and can't handle this team thus far.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, this is just the Sandy Alderson news is really deflating. It just shows that they have, like, no interest in changing anything whatsoever, ever.
And we're just going to get more like quotes of, yo, we're looking at our hiring practices, you know, we're reviewing things, but
we're gonna do better background checks.
Yeah, it's all just lip service. There's nothing changing.
Can't wait to see what sex pest they hire next. Anyway, we alluded to this during the earlier part of the segment where we talked about the Fox broadcasts and national broadcasts. And Linda mentioned the call on the third Lindor home run. And, like, I think that this is, like, a conversation that is interesting to have about, like, national booths more broadly, not just when it comes to the Subway Series. But I was thinking about the value of local booths during that Francisco Lindor three home run game, because, like, Gary Cohen's call of that would have been, like, legendarily good. But to give, you know, Matt Vasgersian credit, his call on the Lindor home run was actually okay because of his passion. He did the, like, classic, the Santa Maria that he does, which is fun. I like that.
Yeah, it was fine.
And that's lacking on a lot of national broadcasts. And even, you know, I am not excusing the, like, really dumb stuff that A-Rod said on that broadcast about, like, A-Rod, I don't want to hear what you have to say about cheating and sign stealing because you're literally Hypocrite. Alex Rodriguez, the king of cheating. But, you know, that aside, and his, like, weird, like, feelings about home runs aside, it's like you were literally given all that money because you hit tons of dingers. But anyway, like, at least he and Matt Vasgersian showed, you know, emotion and passion for the game. Like, they were excited about the Lindor home run, and they should have been, because it was an exciting moment. And I just think about, like, how, like, much that was contrasted with the 2006 NLCS Andy Chavez catch call on the national broadcast, where basically, like, they were just like, oh, that was cool. And, like, Gary Cohen's radio call, he just, like, had an aneurysm basically on the broadcast. And so, like, I just think that having dudes like Joe Buck and John Smoltz, who, like, clearly are either aloof at worst and, like, or at best, and at worst, they, like, outright have disdain for baseball. Like, that's what's worse for the game than, like, ignorance or, like, A-Rod saying dumb things on the broadcast, which is annoying, but I will still, and this is saying something, I will still take that every day over John Smoltz. Even if I think that, John Smoltz is probably more knowledgeable than A-Rod on the whole, like, but the way he just, like, hates how baseball is now and complains about it all the time and just has no passion in his broadcast, like, that just totally sucks as a viewer.
He comes off as very smug, like, I know better than you, and you just have to accept that I'm smarter than you, and it, like, I don't know, this is my issue with Dan Brown novels. He always comes up as, I know more than you, and you're dumb, and I'm so smart, look at me. And it's just very condescending. Like, John Smoltz is the Dan Brown of comedy. Oh,
title of the episode.
This is the Dan Brown of broadcast.
Like, you feel like he's, like, impressed with his own brilliance, and none of us, like, dumb viewers can ever compare.
Yeah, and God, it's just like us. Like, we need, I mean, like, you know, there are so many problems with national broadcasts, but I know that we're not going to get rid of them, and in order for, like, baseball, you know, to grow and not be so, like, parochial, I guess is the best word to use, like, you need to have, like, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, whatever. But I think that, like,
your local broadcasters on,
I know they should have local broadcasters on, and MLB needs to get rid of the goddamn blackout.
Oh my god, do they ever,
because that is what is, like, that's killing the game, keeping the game from growing, is, like, everyone should be able to hear the Gary Cohen call of that Lindor homer, and everyone should be able to hear it. You know?
And that also, like, distressed me, because Gary, Keith, and Ron were just, they kept saying it all year long. We're waiting, like, maybe this will be Lindor's signature moment. Maybe this will be Lindor's signature moment. And of course, when he has his signature moment, they're not on the call. I was like, really? Of course that's the way it is. But, oh, that was the other distress, the big distressing thing for me. See, I have no idea. I mute them. I watch it and I mute the broadcast because I know I do not like the national broadcaster. So I'd rather watch it on mute.
Although yeah. I have to say, in hockey, the first, I think, two rounds of the playoffs, you get your local guys. So do you know how comforting it is to have your local guys mm-hmm. calling playoff games where it's like the most stressed you've ever been in your entire life? But it's like, I know that voice. Like, we're going to get through this together. Like, no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, we're in this together. And it makes a big difference because they know the players. They know their stats. They know the game. They know, you know, they
love the game.
They love the game. They love the team. Like, and we're kind of, you know, we're lucky that, well, at least in Gary, Keith, and Ron's, that they're not, I mean, obviously the ref fans, but they'll call it, they'll be excited if the opposition does something too. And, you know, the Rangers guys are like that too. So, because what they do is they have like a national broadcast that will broadcast the game. And then for the local guys, then they'll broadcast it. So it's basically, so, you know, other people aren't missing out. It's not just you getting the game, like they'll still mm-hmm. broadcast it nationally too. So I wish baseball would do something like, I would love to hear Gary, Keith, and Ron call a playoff game.
We get Ron sometimes.
We get Ron sometimes. Ron,
and also the Mets would have to make the playoffs. There is that also. Caveat,
I was going to say, but the other thing is Ron's good on the playoff baseball, but it's not the same. There's just this
there's chemistry with
Gary, Keith, and Ron. And again, Mets fans are spoiled because Gary, Keith, and Ron are the best in baseball, just generally. This is not, maybe I am a little biased, but I don't think I am because people who are not Mets fans say that they're fantastic.
I mean, they're always nationally ranked when they do the broadcast. They're always like one or two or three when, you know, they come out with the broadcast ranking. So it's not just us.
I was going to say, and I think they're, since Vin Scully has retired, they're now number one.
No, the Giants are one.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? But speaking of the Giants, I would like to watch them since, you know, who's on that team right now, Wilmer Flores. I would like to see him, except I can't because of the blackouts.
Yeah. So our other baseball update this week is there has been like some new developments since we last talked about this, about minor league treatment and pay. And Robert O'Connell had an excellent article in Baseball's Prospectus, which I will link in the show notes and the tweets, that about, you know, they spoke to several minor league players, and it's a lot of it is just like more anecdotes about like the really like shitty conditions that they have to deal with. And you should read it because like every single one of these like stories is worth reading. And we shouldn't become numb to this because it's important. But what I thought was the relevant passage of the article, and I'll read it, is the presence of the Advocates for Minor Leaguers, players said, has helped matters. At least five major league teams have begun providing their prospects in-season housing stipends, and five have also agreed to provide back pay for minor leaguers who stayed in extended spring training instead of heading to an affiliate out of camp, a windfall of more than $3,000. More broadly, teams know that severe enough dereliction of their responsibilities to players could now result in bad press. But case-by-case outcries solve only so much. The advocacy group is so far behind, player one said. It's like a tug of war. We have so little traction. More and more people are jumping in to help us gain that traction, but the business side of things is still holding strong. So I think that paragraph makes a really good point in the sense that like the Advocates for Minor Leaguers is doing really good work, and they deserve a lot of credit for that work, and they deserve to be amplified and, you know, like listened to, and you should follow them on Twitter and see what they're up to. But like they're kind of just like, it's putting band-aids on like a leaking boat, right? Like every little hole, but it's not going to stop the ship from sinking. Like these are just temporary fixes. You need to overhaul the entire system. And like doing this on a case-by-case basis is a way for the teams to just say like, look at this little like breadcrumb we've given you. Aren't we so awesome? Without like fixing the overall problem, right? So that's worth keeping in mind when we talk about this, that, you know, just giving the players back pay. Yes, they should be doing that. That's good. But like, they should be just paying their players a living wage, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah, it helps them now. But what about all the future minor leaguers?
Right.
It's not going to change.
Don't just paper over the cracks.
Exactly.
You gotta root out, you gotta dig up the foundation and start again.
Exactly.
And build something sustainable and fair.
Exactly. Which relates back to the Mets, because the Mets are clearly trying to fill cracks, because it's just like, you can hire a new GM all you want. You can fire your GM and hire a new one, but until you fix the foundation of what's wrong, you're going to keep having the same problems over mm-hmm. and over and over again. And they've learned nothing. Anyway, we will end the show. Walk-off wins.
Oh, wait, Aaron Loop just struck out.
No.
He just made a strikeout.
Before we do
get him a Busch Light.
Before we do walk-off wins, I'll do something even more happy, which is that I'll be the winner live yes! on the podcast. So we are going to do, hopefully this will work. I'm going to do like a random number generator for like the row on the spreadsheet, and whoever, like whose ever pledge is in that row of the spreadsheet that the random number generator draws will be the winner. So Yay! Let's see. Random number generator. It's very fun how you can just like Google these things now.
Yeah.
Minimum 4. Actually, I'm going to skip 4 and go to 5 because I'm row 4. So, and I'm not eligible because I'm not giving a prize to myself.
I was going to say, if it's 4, 12, minimum 31.
Five. Who's the very last row? 59. So we're going to do minimum 5, maximum 59. And we're going to do a random number. Generate. 43. Who is 43? Chris Palmer, you are the winner Yay! Of our random prize. I'll DM you on Twitter. Congratulations, Chris Palmer. I'm going to do a little highlight on my spreadsheet so I do not forget that you are the winner. I will unhighlight it later, but for now you're getting a nice little, I'll do like a very subtle shade.
Okay. That's I was in there working on it too. There you go.
A very nice subtle shade of like slightly darker gray that I'll get rid of later. But that's just to mark it so that I remember who the winner is. But congratulations to Chris. I will DM you on Twitter from a pod of their own account. You've won a fun prize and we'll talk offline. But congratulations to all of our pledgees for getting us to over $5,000. Thank you all so much. It's not too late to make a pledge, by the way. You can make a pledge during any time of our fundraising period. So our spreadsheet is linked at the top of our Twitter in our pinned tweet. If you need it some other way, if you're not on Twitter, reach out to us by email, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. I'll get you a link to that spreadsheet, or you can just email us what you want our pledge to be and I'll put it in for you. It's not too late to pledge. We can back calculate it for you. So keep pledging. And we are excited to get to 10,000, at which point we'll do another fun giveaway. So
yeah, let's get there.
Let's get there. And let's everybody come to our event September 25th, 5 p.m. Catch Astoria, Queens. Be there or be square. There will be more fun prizes to bid on. So get really excited. Like really fun prizes, like really cool stuff, custom made mm-hmm. stuff. Stuff you won't be able to find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So get and really excited.
And Poopote cats.
Poopute cats. Who doesn't want a poopute cat? They're sold out, by the way. So you like can't even get that online.
Mm-hmm. Right,
sold out.
Well, we have two.
We have two of them. So come get them. Come get them while they're hot. Come get the takes while they're hot.
Oh my god.
So yeah, thank you all so much. Those of you already pledged. We're so excited to see how high our total can climb. Keep pledging. We can't wait to see you on the 25th. And we will continue the happiness to end our show, like we always do, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win for this week?
I started graduate school 2 weeks ago, and I am having a blast, even though all my classes are online. And I'm usually not an online class person, but I'm really enjoying my classes. And I'm a little surprised at how not overwhelmed and not nervous I feel about this. And usually if I'm writing discussion posts or papers, I feel like I'm BSing. Well, my first go around, I felt like I was BSing my way through a lot of it. And I don't feel that this time around, which makes me really happy.
You totally got this, Kellyanne.
I got this, and I'm having fun, and I'm enjoying the dialogue with my cohort. I'm enjoying dialogue with my professors. It was a good decision to go back to grad school.
That's good. Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win, well, as you know, I was having issues with my apartment, but at the same time, Toyota kept calling because my lease was coming up in November. So, and I was like, I can't deal with both at the same time. Like, one crisis at a time, please.
Yep.
And it's a Mariano Rivera Toyota. I went to go talk to Mariano. And actually his son did sell me my first car. Mariano Rivera Jr., who looks exactly like Mariano.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if I told this story, how I got a dig in about David Wright walking off against his dad.
Ooh, no, I haven't heard this story.
So we were driving. It was 2018. So I think that was right around the time Wright was announcing his retirement. Or no, it was when he had just retired, because I got it in November. So, you know, we were just talking and he goes, oh, so you guys Yankee fans? I was like,
nope.
I was like, am I allowed in? Like, I don't know. And so he was like, no, I don't mind the Mets. I like David Wright. And I was like, oh, you mean the one who walked off against your dad? And I remember we were taking it to the desk for a test drive, and I'm driving, and he's sitting in the passenger seat, and he goes, I know, I'll give you that one. So it was fun to, you know, just talking baseball with him. But my 3 years later, my lease was up, and apparently there is a big car shortage inventory right now.
Oh yes, because of the microchips, yep, yeah, computer chips.
So
they're all being used for the vaccines.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Oh. They're all in.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
I like how you thought that was.
Attention, listeners, that was a joke.
If you can't tell by my excessive laughter.
So they just kept hounding me, and they're like, we can't guarantee inventory. But I had my purple RAV4. Who drives a purple RAV4? Purple is my favorite color. So I was debating.
You drive it, Linda.
Yeah.
Purple's
so it was
the best color.
It was, yeah, it's my favorite color. Like, I wear purple all the time, and now I had a purple car. It was perfect. And so I was debating about turning it in, or like extending the lease, or buying it outright. And, so they gave me all the options of like getting a new one compared to like what my payments would be if getting a new one. And it was minimal. And so then they were like, oh, we have a surprise for you. I was like, what? And they're like, for the same price, they hooked me up. Like, I have leather steering wheel. I have heated seats.
Heated seats are the best.
I have a heated steering wheel. I have a sunroof. It's a hybrid, so I'm saving on gas.
Oh, my God. I love that. Oh.
And because he was like, why don't you just take it for a test drive? Because it's called like the RAV4 Prime. It's like Optimus Prime. Like, that's all I could think of. And so he's like, just take it for a test drive.
You're driving a Transformer.
Yeah. So I turned it on. He goes, okay, go. I was like, what? And he was like, go. I didn't even know the car was on. It is so quiet. Like, it was the smoothest ride. I fell in love with it after I test drove it. So it broke my heart a little bit, but I gave up my purple car. And so now I have this black Optimus Prime. And they're like, oh, you can like walk out of here today with it. I was like, really? So yeah, they're like, they're gassing it up and giving it a wash and wash and you'll be good to go. So I walked in and I walked out and I was like, but I'm not ready to say goodbye to my purple. But they're like, in a week, you'll forget all about it because it really is fun to drive and I am really happy with it. But, you know, it broke my heart a little bit because I picked up that car 2 days before that freak snowstorm we got in November. And I swear that's the only reason why I got home. Like, that car literally saved me. So, but they promised me this one's safe. This will get me home in the snow too. So I'm excited. I am excited that, you know, I have like all these bells and whistles now. Like, my boss was like, was that your fancy car in the parking lot there?
No, the heated seats are the best.
And I've always wanted the butt warmers. So
I was going to say, not just butt warmers. It's when you're lower back and you're cramping up. Yes. And you have PMS. Yes. It's the best.
I know. That was one of my things. I really wanted the butt warmers. When you said, and even the people in the back have butt warmers in those.
That's,
if you drive in my car, you're guaranteed a butt warmer no matter where you So I'm still, you know, trying to figure out all the bells and whistles. And
no, you're gonna love it when you're PMSing.
Yes. So
with the lower back, it's it's amazing.
And I have lumbar support too. And I have a bad back. I was like, whoa, because he was like, okay, sit there for a second. And he's like, I can show you something. And like all of a sudden, I was like, ooh.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good luck. If I was up there, I would throw change in the back of the seat.
Yeah, I need somebody to throw change. But so I just have to figure out how to charge the thing too.
Do you have like stations by you?
Yes, there's one right down the road from me. In the Stop and Shop parking lot. So I figure I could just plug it in and go food shopping.
I've always wondered, like, if they install something in your home?
They said it's a regular plug.
You can just charge it.
Really? Like
regular. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a regular plug.
I didn't know that.
I can't because I'm obviously in a complex, so I don't have a plug. So I'd have to go to like one of the public ones.
But if you park it
ones,
in like in your garage at your house, you can plug it into the outlet.
Interesting. Or if you have an outdoor outlet, you can just plug it right. Yeah, because it's one of the like the little three pronged.
Yep. Cool.
And, yeah. It takes longer if you plug it into your house than like one of those public
charging stations. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause those are like, you know, obviously have more oomph behind them.
Yes. Interesting.
But I didn't know that. They said it. Yeah, I don't need to do anything. They said either way, I'm getting 40 miles to the gallon on this. So
that's fantastic.
So I'm paying a little bit more than what I was paying for my old RAV4, but now I figure I'm saving a gas. So it probably.
It'll make up for it.
Yeah, probably is works out. So yeah. So long story short, I got a new car.
we love it, folks.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Also, new car smell.
Yes. Oh, that's the best. Yeah. As soon as I got it, I was like,
yes. So good. So
Austin, what is yours?
My walk-off win this week is I kind of have two, but it's kind of like they both happened this weekend. So over the weekend, I went to my friend's bridal shower in Delaware. So that was just a really nice time. We like it was like very chill. Like we had a beer tasting contest and played cornhole and had a cornhole tournament. And
nice.
That was the bridal shower.
That's awesome.
Nice. So that was really fun. And then on Sunday, I ran the Cherry Blossom 10 miler here in DC, and it was my first race since COVID. So it was just nice to like get back out there. I had no expectations of myself because I really didn't train that well for this race. Normally I like train really hard for races. This time I was like, well, my goal is to finish because I like barely have run. And I did. I fell down with 800 meters left to go and skinned my knee and there was blood everywhere and I had to get seen by the medical tent. But you know what?
Oh,
I finished. And in my race photos, I look really badass. It's like extremely like Matt Harvey bloody nose energy like, in my race photos, like with like blood running down my leg, like finishing the race. So that was it was just nice to like get back out there, you know, like even though, you know, I had no expectations. I ran really slow, but like it's just a way to like get back into the swing of things from like before, you know, the before times when I used to be like good at running and was a runner and ran races all the time. And, you know, the cherry blossom 10 miler is usually during, you know, cherry blossom season in April. But this year they didn't have it in 2020. They had a virtual version where you could like sign up and then like run 10 miles of a, on a, like at home, like on a course of your choosing in your neighborhood, and then like log it basically through like, you know, your running app or whatever. I didn't do that, but, 2021, they delayed it from April to September. So it happened in September. So now I'm signing up for 2022, and then it'll be April again, and it'll actually be like with the blossoms out and everything, because that's like a big part of it, is like you run along the tidal basin in DC. It's really beautiful because the cherry blossoms are blooming, and it's just like a gorgeous race course, just like so pretty, and like helps you forget that you're like in pain because everything is so pretty to look at. this time it was a little, the weather was perfect though. This time it was a little different. There were no blossoms. The trees were there, you know, with green leaves on them. But you know, the weather was still perfect for running. It was like 68 degrees and sunny. It was like so nice. So, you know, ran it with two of my friends. We had a nice time. It was just nice to get back out there. So that's my walk-off win.
Yay! That's fantastic.
Yes, and congratulations on finishing.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I was worried that I wouldn't, but I did.
But you did.
Despite falling.
that is pretty
bad.
But
you got back up.
Yes.
I did. I'm so uncoordinated. It's awful. I also noticed I was wearing my shorts backwards the entire time after I finished the race. I like looked down and I was like, something's off about this. Oh, shit. I hope no one notices that. It's fine, you know, batting 1,000. Going back into, you know, the public is a struggle these days. I haven't worn real clothes in ages. In the meantime, while you are, you know, waiting to go back in public for whatever public activities you are resuming doing, you can go to amazingavenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We have game recaps. We have morning news posts. We have analysis posts. We have weekly meters. We have all the things for you. As the Mets finish out their season, whether they make the playoffs or not, they will finish out their season one way or another. And you can read all about it on amazingavenue.com. Check out Amazing Avenue on all the different social medias, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can make a pledge for our pledge drive, for our Dollars for Dingers pledge drive there on our Twitter. It's our pinned tweet. Check it out. You can email the show aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. If you don't have access to Twitter, you can email us your pledge. We'll put it on the spreadsheet for you. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servage.
Where are you, Kellyanne?
At LRBELLAREBEE.
You can find our podcasts, Amazing Avenue Audio, our entire suite of podcasts on whatever your podcast app of choice is. Please subscribe and please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasts.